reader and should be reading from Workbook Lesson 76. I'm under no laws but God's. I have asked Lynn Johnson to be my music director this morning, and I believe that Lynn will also be the admin this morning. So let's enter into the morning's services right here, right now. Thanking everyone for joining us, and I hope my voice is carrying somewhat. Can I be heard? Yes. Can I be heard? It's great. Okay, very good. Thanks, Melinda. All right. I want to welcome everybody, and this is the time that we basically do a meet and greet, which is a way, if we were in a sanctuary, temple, church, ashram, we would be hugging each other and meeting all the people around us. So this is really just another opportunity to do the same thing, and we can send our greetings. Maybe you want to send it to one or two people. Maybe you want to send it to all. Maybe you want to tell people where you're from. And it's just a way of getting to know each other. That is just the way that we open here every Sunday. So I am going to ask Lynn. Hi, Regina. Welcome. Good morning. I'm going to ask Lynn to take the mic and play some appropriate music for the meet and greet. And then we'll take a look at what today's service is going to be, and I'm looking forward to it because I really don't know myself. And that is the truth. Okay. Ron says, it's a beautiful day dawning here in Nevada. Dances says, group hug from Dances in Texas. All right. Lynn Johnson, this mic is all yours.
Good morning from Lynn from Pueblo.
Broken hearts and broken wings, bring it on, everything. And bring the song you fear to sing, all is welcome here. And even if you broke your vow a thousand times, come anyhow. We're stepping into the power of now, and all is welcome here. La 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 la. Dancing to the sacred drum, they know they're welcome here. I see the shaman and the mighty priest, see the beauty and the beast, singing I have been released, and I am welcome here. La 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 la. Gateless gate, too drunk on love to hesitate. To the winds I cast my fate and the remnants of my fear. I took a deep breath and I leapt and I awoke as if I'd never slept. Tears of gratitude I wept. I was welcome here. La 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 la.
All are welcome here. Welcome, welcome. And I'm so joyful to see you all. God bless you. And I'm turning the mic back over to you, Dove. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much, Lynn, for that wonderful music. And thanks, everybody, for joining in the meeting and the greeting and the embracing and the loving. And extending love is probably the one thing that I have found out recently that actually heals. Extending love is the one thing that I have found recently that heals. It was shown to me, thanks to the Holy Spirit, probably something I would never do, but the Holy Spirit says, hey, listen, you are perfectly cared for. You are perfectly cared for. And we are all perfectly cared for, but we don't really know it because somehow we think that, well, you know, maybe others are perfectly cared for, but I'm not. And, of course, we're listening to the voice of self-doubt, the voice that thinks that maybe others have it better. And you know that just leads to more doubt. And if anything, as Jesus says in A Course in Miracles, the purpose of teaching, the fundamental purpose for teaching is to diminish your self-doubt. So if you are committed to sharing, if you're committed to giving, if you're committed to extending, you'll find that all of the self-doubts disappear. They do. Because it's our willingness to commit to being as God created us, to extend the love, to extend creation. Okay. I'm going to take a few moments, as we usually do at this time, to maybe speak a little about Awakening Together, what is Awakening Together? I'm going to read this directly from Purpose and Values. Maybe, Lynn, you want to put up Awakening Together, Purpose and Values. What is Awakening Together? Awakening Together is an online universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We're also dedicated to recognizing the ways that we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. I love that word, continuous, just ongoing flow. And the flow of universal wisdom is always, always, always with us. I'm going to now put up, thank you so much. That is the, Lynn just put up the purpose and value. You can go there and just see what was just read. You'll see the purpose, which I'm about to put up, and also you'll see our five core values. So, our purpose is we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths. I like the word appearance. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. One truth, one self, one creator, one creation. Yes, one truth. Yes, truth is union. We are one. We are one. Yes, truth is. Of the five core values, which one, most of you know the five core values, but, you know, they're right on the same page where Lynn just posted. One of them basically appeals to me on this day, and that is being self-reliant. Being self-reliant, because in truth, as long as we think that we don't have what others may have, and we think that maybe God didn't give us all that He gave others, we are pretty much stuck in a place called, well, I'm making a victim of myself. I don't have all, so I have to get from others what it is that I don't have. So the idea of self-reliance is the willingness to remember the truth that I am as God created. I am under no laws but God's. God has given all to all. There's that wonderful line in the Justice of Heaven, text chapter 25, section 9, what God gives belongs to everyone and is his due. And in that same section, text chapter 25, section 9, it actually says, if you are reluctant to give, you must have been reluctant to accept, and you will not know what you have even though you have it. Because the idea that we can deny the truth, and that's pretty much, as I see, the Course says, don't ask all those other silly questions like, do you want the peace of God? He says, yeah, I know you want the peace of God, but what are you willing to do for it? He says, don't ask, do I want the peace of God? Ask the last unanswered question. And that is very simply, do you want to see what you denied? Because it is the truth. It is the truth. Yes, all have all. God is all. A little bit later this morning, we're going to get into, what if God is pure love? That would probably mean everything that I ever thought was certainly a mistake. Everything I ever thought was certainly a mistake. And that's why he says, I'm really not interested in philosophical speculation, precise terminology. I'm only interested in atonement or correction of perception. To see truly, to remember the truth that we are one. God is but love, and therefore so am I. And that's true for all. There's no one left out of that. All are included in this circle of innocence. All are included in this circle of atonement. Leave just one out, and I've left myself out. Because in truth, I'm always speaking about myself. Okay. I'm going to ask Belinda, who is my reader this morning, to read from lesson number 76, I'm under no laws but God's. And I must say, you know, I've said this recently, when the first time I ever went through A Course in Miracles, which was way back in the late 70s, this lesson actually stuck out for me as my favorite lesson. And it was my favorite lesson because it's such a radical lesson. It literally reverses all the laws of this world by that one statement, I'm under no laws but God's. And as Melinda reads from it, we'll get to kind of look and see as the author of A Course in Miracles kind of laughs. He says, you know, you still believe in all this stuff that you made up. You have laws for this, you have laws for that, and you really think that these laws mean something. But as long as you identify with these laws, you cannot really know the truth. So Melinda, if you will, I'm turning this mic over to you. Thank you so much, Melinda. The mic is all yours.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I'm reading Lesson 76, Selections. I am under no laws but God's. We have observed before how many senseless things have seemed to you to be salvation. Each has imprisoned you with laws as senseless as itself. You are not bound by them. Yet to understand that this is so, you must first realize salvation lies not there. While you would seek for it in things that have no meaning, you bind yourself to laws that make no sense. Thus do you seek to prove salvation is where it is not. Today, we will be glad you cannot prove it. For if you could, you would forever seek where it is not and never find it. The idea for today tells you once again how simple is salvation. Look for it where it waits for you, and there it will be found. Look nowhere else, for it is nowhere else. Think of the freedom in the recognition that you are not bound by all the strange and twisted laws which you have set up to save you. You really think you would starve unless you have stacks of green paper strips and piles of metal discs. You really think a small round pellet or some fluid pushed into your veins through a sharpened needle will ward off death. You really think you are alone unless another body is with you. It is insanity that thinks these things. You call them laws and put them under different names in a long catalog of rituals that have no use and serve no purpose. You think you must obey the laws of medicine, of economics, and of health. Protect the body and you will be saved. These are not laws, but madness. The body is endangered by the mind that hurts itself. The body suffers that the mind will fail to see it is victim of itself. The body's suffering is a mask the mind holds up to hide what really suffers. It would not understand it is its own enemy, that it attacks itself and wants to die. It is from this your laws would save the body. It is for this you think you are a body. There are no laws except the laws of God. This needs repeating over and over until you realize that it applies to everything that you have made in opposition to His will. Your magic has no meaning. What is meant to save does not exist. Only what it is meant to hide will save you. The laws of God can never be replaced. We will devote today to rejoicing that this is so. It is no longer a truth which we would hide. We realize instead it is a truth which keeps us free forever. Magic imprisons, but the laws of God set free. The light has come because there are no laws but His. There are no laws but God's. Dismiss all foolish magical beliefs today and hold your mind in silent readiness to hear the voice that speaks the truth to you. You will be listening to one who says, "There is no loss under the laws of God. Payment is neither given nor received. Exchange cannot be made. There are no substitutes, and nothing is replaced by something else. God's laws forever give and never take." Let us today open God's channels to Him and let His will extend through us to Him. Thus is creation endlessly increased. His voice will speak of this to us, as well as of the joys of heaven, which His laws keep limitless forever. We will repeat today's idea until we have listened and understood there are no laws but God's. Then we will tell ourselves, as a dedication with which the practice period concludes, "I am under no laws but God's." Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Melinda, for that wonderful reading. And I must say that I have been given this lesson a couple weeks ago. It came to me, Holy Spirit just placed it in my mind and said, "Look at this again." And the funny thing is, I said this used to be my favorite lesson the first time around, and then I went to a few other lessons. Of course, the final lesson, which I always use, "Holy Spirit, I put you in charge, be you in charge of my request. Knowing the direction that you lead brings me peace. If it's a word I need, that will be given. If it's a thought, that will surely be given. And if it's a still and tranquil mind, that will be mine as well." And that became my mantra lesson for 27 years until just about the time we started Gather here back in 2004. And I realized I had one other hindrance, one other impediment to my letting things go, and that is I thought I knew what things were for. So I did adopt lesson number 25, which is I do not know what anything is for, and that became my mantra lesson for the next 7 years. And it served me very well, very, very well, because letting go of thinking you know anything is really the royal staircase to heaven. You cannot enter heaven if you actually think you know anything from a dream. You just can't. But I guess it was time, you know, most of you know I'm going through some stuff right now, stuff being that I was diagnosed as having cancerous tumor in my neck, and when I was told this, I accepted it. There was no problem. I said, "Okay, what are the options?" They said, "Chemo and radiation." I said, "Okay." So I went through. Chemo is a 3-session thing. You take 1 week, and then you get 2 weeks off. And then you do it again, and then you take 2 weeks off. This is my second session. I must say that the first session was what I call before, and this session is what I call after. The after actually came after I went through pretty much, as somebody said, the chemo really is kicking your butt, Dove. And that was true. A couple of things happened at that time. First of all, I really could not. I was in pretty, I said, really poor condition. My wife Suzanne literally said to me, "You know, you have 102.2 fever. If you stay in that bed, you may not wake up in the morning. You may die." And then she asked me the question that almost sounded like it was Holy Spirit speaking to me. She said, "Do you want to die or do you want to live?" when she said, "Do you want to live?" I realized it was a decision. Heaven is a decision I must make. This is a decision I must make. I said, "I want to live." I actually sat up in bed and said, "I want to live." I said, "Well, if you want to live, then you have to get out of bed, put your clothes on, and I'm going to take you to the hospital because, you know, you can't do this on your own." She said, okay, so I thought she was going to take me to New York to Mount Sinai, which is the hospital where I'm being treated. But no, she only took me 5 minutes away to the local hospital, St. John's. And I must say, when I walked into the emergency room, I thought I was there for like, well, you know, I'll be there for an hour or two. I'll get them to give me an antibiotic, you know, and break the fever. But that's not what Holy Spirit had planned for me. No, no. I was going to spend the next 7-8 days in this wonderful place, and really a wonderful place, wonderful, with the best medical attention, the very, very best medical attention that anyone could ever get. I certainly could never have done it on my own. I wasn't eating at the time. They just gave me, you know, streaming IVs of antibiotics, amino acids, all kinds of things through a tube, and sure, and they did everything possible medically. But one of the things that actually happened during the 7-8 days was something I could never have predicted. And I have spoken about this a number of times before. You know, there's two ways of looking at any disease or cancer. One is to fight it and beat it and kill it. And the other is the one that Byron Katie says, you must love your cancer or it will return in another form. When I was out in Colorado, thanks to Regina having a meeting out there, I got to sit right next to Dr. Brent Haskell, a medical doctor. And I said to him, you know, Brent, there's two ways of looking at this thing. One person says, well, David, you're strong, you're a warrior, you're going to fight it, you're going to beat it. And the other says, you know, you must love your cancer. He says, I subscribe to the second. I said, okay, that does it for me. I'm going to love my cancer. But at the time, I had no idea what loving your cancer meant, you know. The ego says, oh, well, don't worry about it, Dove. I'll take good care of it. All you have to do is send light from whoever you think you are to the tumor, and that's going to do it. That's gonna love your cancer. Well, of course, nothing could be further from the truth. What I didn't know at the time is I was going to be given an opportunity to spend 7-8 days in this most wonderful place. Not only was the IV streaming into me, I had people streaming through my room, 30 or 40 people a day, all kinds of doctors, registered nurses, assistant nurses, people who are doing therapy, people who are just cleaning up, all kinds of people, and I had an opportunity to actually be with each and every one exactly as it says up in that banner. It says, whenever you meet anyone, it is a holy encounter. As you see them, you see yourself. As you treat them, you treat yourself. As you think of them, you think of yourself. You'll either find yourself or lose yourself in that holy encounter. Leave no one without giving them salvation. Well, I want you to know, it was one of the most holiest 7-8 days of my life where I just was exuding and extending a lot of love. And I got to see that the love that you extend, of course, love could never be to a cancer or love to one person. Love just loves. Love just loves. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. You're just loving. And I was really getting better and better every single day. And actually, one day I actually, you know, said to Holy Spirit, well, I know I'm getting better. You know, my white blood cell count had gone from the bottom, the pits, to just about normal. I said, yeah, but Holy Spirit, what is all this for? You know, the Course says, ask of all things of this world because you don't really know. What is it for? And I heard as clearly as I guess you hear my voice right now, you are perfectly cared for. You are perfectly cared for. Yes. And that's true for each and every one. We are all perfectly cared for. Our Father cares for all of His children perfectly. Certainly He doesn't care for the body. He didn't make a body. No. We made the body as long as we identify with it. Well, I guess we think, well, you know, hey God, you know, you haven't done a good job here. But in truth, who we are is perfectly cared for. That's just about the time when the idea of lesson number 76 came into my mind. I'm under no laws but God's. And again, this one lesson does reverse all the laws of this world, because, you know, as long as you think, well, you know, my temperature is up, my white blood cell count is down, you know, you're saying, geez, what, you know, where am I going with all of this? But none of that is true. None of that really exists except in the mind that identifies itself with a body. And we all know there's no accident that it's probably more times the lesson, I am not a body, I am free, I am still, as God created me, is the most often repeated lesson in the Course. So, this one lesson does focus directly on it, and, you know, I'm going to take a look at a couple of lines that Melinda read from the first paragraph. It says, while you would seek for it in things that have no meaning, you bind yourself to laws that make no sense. Thus do you seek to prove salvation is where it is not. Thus do you seek to prove salvation is where it is not. That's what denial is. You know, God doesn't really love me. I have to do this for myself. The next paragraph, paragraph 2, it says, today we will be glad. You'll be glad you cannot prove this. For if you could, you would forever seek salvation where it is not and never find it. The idea for today tells you once again how simple is salvation. Look for it where it waits for you, and there it will be found. Look nowhere else, for it is nowhere else. So, for those people who do the Course, we do know that the secret of salvation is very simple. The secret of salvation is I do this to myself. At this particular moment, I'm prompted to take a look at something that I have spoken about here many times, and it just came up in this last week or two as a very powerful way for us to take a look at healing. You know, everybody wants to be healed, and the truth is that all things of this world are for our healing. There's nothing here that is not for our healing, but we can deny it. We can deny it. We can pretend to be powerless. That's why he says, can't you see that all your misery, like 100%, comes from your strange belief that you are powerless? Yes, we would like to be powerless. Yes, that would prove that God has no power. I mean, after all, if God's not going to help me out and I can't help me out, well, I guess, well, I got my 4 score 10 to live, and, you know, if I get that much, and well, then it's bye-bye birdie. But in the teacher's manual, section 5, the manual for teachers, there's that wonderful line in section 5, how is healing accomplished? And it's the only place in this Course that I know that the author of this Course actually gives us a disclaimer. And this is what he says at the top of the page, page 17. at least in the FIP edition. It says, healing involves an understanding of what the illusion of sickness is for. Healing is impossible without this. Healing is impossible. Now, this is Jesus telling you, you can't be healed. He's telling you it's impossible. Now, this whole course is supposedly about healing. Why is he telling us it's impossible? Because he wants us to face the truth, that we do this to ourselves. And 5.1, it's divided into three parts, but part I'm going to speak about this morning is the perceived purpose of sickness. And it says, healing is accomplished the instant the sufferer no longer sees any value in pain. Who would choose suffering unless he thought it brought him something and something of value to him? He must think it's a small price to pay for something of greater worth. For sickness is an election, a decision. It's a choice of weakness in the mistaken conviction that it is strength. I urge everybody to take a look at this for yourself, because my reading it and your listening to me really will not be the same as your own willingness to take a look at why healing is impossible unless you know the perceived purpose of sickness. And the bottom line is, yes, we have chosen it as a way to say, Father, you don't really have to punish me. I'll just punish myself. You know, I'll save you the bother, Father. You know, I'll just do it myself. So it's in this denial of truth, the belief that, you know, that I'm in charge here. That, you know, of course, if you're identifying with this little, small, weak self, which always wants control, it always wants to run the ship, you will think that you are in charge. Of course, nothing is further from the truth. So again, please do take a look at section 5, how is healing accomplished, the perceived purpose of sickness. And that's the one thing that has to be read, because you have to take a look that the secret of salvation is I do this to myself. That is, you know, it's just that simple. And as long as I am in denial of truth, which is why the last unanswered question is, do you want to see what you denied? Because it is the truth. Yeah. The truth is that we are under no laws but God's. But as long as I believe in magic and this and that, and I want to perpetuate the thing that, well, I can do this. You know, I can make this happen. I'll go to the right doctors, the right this, the right that. You know, I know what's good for me. Yeah. We're just perpetuating the idea that illusions are real and love is not. I just want to mention that 5.2 is the shift in perception, and 5.3 in the same section is the function of the teachers of God. But first you have to move through the perceived purpose of sickness. In the few minutes ahead, I'd like to bring up some of the things that have happened here in this room that basically has been a real reversal for me, and maybe for others who hear. You know, if you're actually listening and hear, we do have a new guest teacher here. His name is David Anthony Visco. He's on Wednesdays at 12 noon. And his very first time here, he spoke on how he found the Course in Miracles and the events that actually, mystical events, people came into his life that he never knew, who kind of guided this and guided that. And If you haven't heard it, I did record it. We could always, you know, post it, and if you want to hear it, maybe I'll send it to you. But he says something that actually does stop us in our tracks. One of the two or three people that came into his life, almost like angels sent to guide him, said, "David, what if God is pure love, just pure love?" And he said that haunted him. It just bothered the heck out of him for some time. He thought about it. What if God is pure love? And when we say only the love is real, only God is, do we ever really equate that God is pure love? Do we ever really equate it? Because if that's true, everything that we have ever believed, which is really nothing more than our own projections, a guy named Voltaire, some of you know Voltaire back in the 18th century, he said, God created us in his image, and we just return the favor. Yeah, we make God like us. You know, when God has moods, and he moves from being nice one day to, well, you know, what have you done for me lately, Dove? you better get your act together, Dove. So while I'm living in that illusion, I definitely see God as separate and apart. But if you say that I and the Father are one, that we are one with the Father, and that the function of love is one, which is really the truth, we are pure love also. Now, there's this wonderful line in the Course that actually says, your Father would simply have you call him friend. Your Father would simply have you call him friend. It kind of reminds me of that book that Teddy Poppy put out called Wisdom from Beyond. And it's a story of Albert Einstein, who once said, you know, the question is more important than the answer. So a little girl that was in the audience said, but Dr. Einstein, if that's true, then what is the most important question? He said, oh, that's a good question, little girl. And he says, well, let me go home and think about it, and I'll come back tomorrow, and we'll look at it. And then he came back and the next day, and he said, the most important question is this universe friendly or not? And she says, what's the answer, Dr. Einstein? He says, indeed, it is friendly. Indeed, it is friendly. Yes. Pure love heals. Pure love heals. But if you deny the love, it can't heal, because we are saying, no, this is not true. I'm going to close with one of my favorite sections from A Course in Miracles, which I take from The Rewards of God, Chapter 4, Section 6, Paragraph 8. It says, as you come closer to a brother, you approach me, and as you withdraw from him, I become distant to you. Salvation is a collaborative venture. It cannot be undertaken successfully by those who disengage themselves from the sonship, because they're disengaging themselves from me. God will come to you only as you will give him to your brothers. Learn first of them, and you'll be ready to hear God. And that is because the function of love is one. So exactly what happened in that hospital room for 8 days is when you're extending the love of God that you are giving God to your brothers and sisters. You are feeling the love of God. You are, as it says, I feel the love of God within me now. I feel it. It's in the extending of the love. Love heals. But love has to be given to all equally the same. Okay, we're just about at that time. I want to thank everyone for being here. Certainly thank the Holy Spirit for providing whatever it is that I said, because I had no idea really what I was going to say. And I guess it all came out perfectly. And as you know, I always say it's all perfect always. So at this particular time, and I'm taking a look at what's on the thing. I guess we go into. I'm going to be turning this mic over to you, Lynn, for playing some music that goes along with the request for all of those who would like to share their donation with Awakening Together, because we are, just like any other organization, one that does ask its members to please give and give gladly. You can only gain thereby. So we're going to have a musical interlude. Lynn, I'm going to turn this mic over to you. You might post the link that basically tells people where they can go for this. And we'll be back in about another 5, 6, 7 minutes, whatever, for sharing on this topic. And, of course, all are invited to share. All are invited to share here. Okay, Lynn, if you're ready, turning this mic over to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dub, for that. And here's some beautiful music. Thank you. Thank you so much, David Lance, for that beautiful music. And I'm turning this mic back over to you, Doug.
All right, thank you so much, Lynn, for that music. I was going to ask if you would moderate for the sharing coming up right now. We have about 15 or 20 minutes where everybody is invited to share. Maybe something you heard this morning, something that came up for you during the service, or just something from your own life you want to share. So, Lynn, if you would take the mic and actually conduct the actual moderating. Thank you so much. We'll gather back here at about 25 after the hour. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Doug. This has been a wonderful morning for me so far, and I'm just so grateful for this forum. I'm so grateful for everything that you've done to build this, and I'm grateful for everything everyone has done to be a part of this membership. And again, I'm also so grateful that because of the work that you've done to build this, that I have this amazing opportunity. I mean, this is, you know, if you had ever asked me, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life, Lynn? You know, what would you prefer to do for the rest of your life? You know, I could have said, I just want to share my love with my brothers in this most wonderful way. And this is a gift that's been given to me, and I'm so grateful. So right now, I'd like to open up the floor for anyone who would like to share from their heart anything that they've had a thought or desire. Just put your hand up, and I will let you have the mic. And be grateful for anyone who cares to share with us. All right, Melinda.
Hi, everyone. Thank you. I'm glad to be here with you all. One thing that that comes into my mind is I love those sections from the teacher's manual, the perceived purpose of sickness, and hi, Robbie, and then the other one. I can't remember, but, you know, it strikes me as so surprising that I guess my ego, almost underneath my nose, kind of creates this idea of what healing looks like or what it is, you know, an expectation or an image, a story, procedure, I don't know what, you know, and it's always so it just takes on a, you know, it's not anything that ego ever tries to make it out to be. It's so much more healing. You know, there's this part, and I'll find it and talk about it at some point because I want to share. But limitless release. So like limitless release. It's somewhere in the teacher's manual. And you know, really, healing is like this limitless release. And it's also something that is like, it's total, and it's nothing, it's sort of like, you know, everything that Dove talked about and everything that Jeff talked about, you know, it's our home, really, and really it's the ego that tries to make all this other stuff, these stories about what we think healing looks like, or what we think will heal us, and we just need, you know, all we have to do is just well, we don't have to do anything except just, you know, be willing to do that limitless release, just a little willing. So I just really love, no matter, you know, what the ego is telling us, I'm always trying to figure out where I am, what, you know, let me evaluate this. And I can't believe any of that, you know, it's so far beyond anything that my thinking mind, and thank God for that. Thank you, God, for that, and thank you all. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much, Melinda. It's so wonderful to hear your voice. And I loved hearing your reading this morning and your sharing. I'm so grateful to see you. And so I'm going to turn the mic now over to David. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes, thank you for sharing. And thank you, Dove, for leading this gathering today. I just wanted to share something I read in Peace Pilgrim this morning. And I had written it down in my journal. And it says, there is never really anything to be discouraged about, because difficulties are opportunities for inner growth. And the greater the difficulty, the greater the inner growth. That's all I have to share.
Boy, isn't that just about right? that is just absolutely so right. It's our unwillingness to even give God a chance. We think that, oh, I've got this, I can do this, I can take care of myself. And so it's not until we're knocked on our knees and we're like, oh my God, what can I do? You know, I'm just dying here. When we get knocked on our knees and we realize that we can't do it ourselves, then we do turn to God, and then we're given everything that we ever needed. Everything that we ever needed came to us, and it's just perfect. And that's what, you know, you look back, and I know myself, for all the trial and tribulation that I've come upon with my accident and healing and all this kind of stuff, you know, now I look back on it and I'm just so grateful. Oh my God. You know, I could not be more grateful for that opportunity to allow God to take care of me. To just allow God to take care of me, and to realize that I can't do it myself. And Dancer says, if I go to God first thing, I don't get in a bind. Yeah, and you don't even know. You do not even know the tribulations that you save yourself by going to God first. You have no idea. And so, you know, this is why we have this thought that, you know, I have to be down and out before it will work. Pretty soon we see that we don't have to be down and out at all, and that it works always. Oh, Diane, I see you have your hand up. I will give you the mic. God bless you, my love.
Can you hear me? Okay, I guess I have to hold this button down the whole time. I just wanted to say I had a nice talk with Doug this week about the appearance of illness and the illusion. Illness and illusion starting with the same first three letters. And my Parkinson's disease, that's part of my story, or my history, or my herstory. I've been thinking of a lot of words this week. I'm a writer, and I think in words. History is just his story, and her story is just her story, and it's all illusion, all of it, the history of the entire world and every disease in it. And what living with Parkinson's has taught me is that it may be happening in the illusion, but it's not happening to my spirit. Nothing is happening to my spirit. And every day that I give God my first thought in the morning, it doesn't keep things from happening to my body. Yesterday I was in a store shopping right at 3 o'clock when it was time for my next dose of Parkinson's meds, and I could hardly walk out of the store. And I started my day with God yesterday like I do every day. But it wasn't my spirit that was affected, but it was only my body. And when I can separate that, I'm doing really, really well. And I'm grateful the Course has taught me that.
Thank you, Diane. That was lovely. And I am so grateful to you too, Diane. You are an inspiration. I know that disease may seem like it's hopeless if you're just, you know, looking at it from the outside. But to know that, you know, it is for your healing. It is for your good. And it's so funny. My doctor has Parkinson's. And he has gotten where his hands tremble so much that he can barely write, or, you know, it's okay. But he sent me to see a specialist the other day, and the specialist recommends that I have these injections in my knee. And the specialist said, well, you can have, you know, your Dr. Dalibach do this for you, or you can come up and have me do it. And I was thinking, you have not met Dr. Dalibach, apparently, because he's the last person that I'm going to have sticking needles in my knee. God love him, but he's the greatest doctor in the world, and I adore him. but no giant needles with him in my knee. So and he can laugh about it. You know, he's still working as a doctor. And he's still a wonderful doctor. He was a surgeon. Imagine that, if your life is to be a surgeon, and he was a great surgeon, to develop a disease that causes your hand to tremble so badly that you can hardly hold the pencil. And yet he carries on. He's a wonderful man. So anybody else have anything that they would like to share? We have a few more minutes. I would love to hear anyone else sharing. Let's see. I think Christian posted something up. Whoa, let me go up and see. He says, I just want to share that the love in this gathering is blissfully embracing. Words cannot express. And I feel that way too. I'm just getting chills just thinking about this. Because words cannot express my gratitude for this gathering, this room. Thank you everyone who's made this possible and who makes this possible. And I see that Dove is posting the quote from last night, and Lynn, never believe that you have something important to think about. All things are not important. Robert Adams. And it's just so beautiful. Cindy has her hand up. Let me give you the mic.
Thank you. I hope you can hear me. What came up for me, and I wrote it down, and please forgive me, but my memory and ability to think I'm spry, not that spry, I guess. But I wrote, how precious is this moment in the sanctuary. Now I desire to remain in this precious moment and offer this love to the not-so-precious moments that I may perceive to come in this day. It's easy to feel and to be one here. So my desire is to offer my salvation, as it was said earlier, to be all-inclusive, and that means for me to...
Cindy, are you done? You dropped the mic. I wasn't sure if you were complete with what you were saying. But yeah, for me too. Absolutely perfect. And thank you for your vigilance, as Dance says. So let me then... I'm looking at the schedule to see what else we have to do here. We have about 5 minutes left. Dove, do you want to say anything in the conclusion of the gathering? And then I have a song to play at the end. So if you would like to say something, please put your hand up. All right.
All right. Thank you so much, Lynn, and everyone that has, first of all, attended here today and all those who shared. And I realize I went through my sharing this morning without using the word trust even once. But I find that, you know, the course, which is like 1,300 pages long, it seems to be, you know, so filled with concepts and symbols and all that, is really telling us to develop trust in our oneself. And that's pretty much what the core value of Awakening Together is. I'm going to put up an acronym. Let me, I'm going to put up this acronym, which actually T-R-U-S-T, to rely upon spirit totally. That actually comes from Janine Jansman, one of our wonderful teachers. I want to give her full credit for it. But that's really what trust is to say, I do not know what anything is for. I will step back and let him lead the way, knowing the direction that he lead brings me peace. Because I don't really know the way. So trust, you know, when I asked that question in the hospital, hey, Holy Spirit, you know, I know I'm getting better, but what is this for? And the answer came very clearly, you are perfectly cared for, and that's so true for all of us. So true for all of us, we are all perfectly cared for. But if we distrust, and I realized in that moment, and I did have a couple of tears of both joy and sadness at the same time, I realized that by my even asking the question, what is this for, I wasn't really trusting that everything was for my healing. And that's pretty much the basic axiom of this course, is, as the course says, you can be sure that the Holy Spirit's only purpose for this world of time and space is for the healing of the mind of God's Son. And then he says, and you can be sure if that's the only purpose the Holy Spirit has, it has no other purpose. So, you know, whenever I, you know, feel like, well, what is this for? I have to say, wait a minute, you know, am I really totally trusting? If I'm totally trusting, if I'm letting go of all of the things I'm holding on to, all my beliefs, all the magic, all the laws of this world, you know, and I'm saying I'm under no laws but the laws of God, I am trusting that our Father takes care of all of His children, that we are perfectly safe always. And that is so integral to this message. It isn't that he does it just for the people who do the course, or people who do the path, or people who are Awakening Together members. Or no, this is for all. All who come here, we all share the same purpose. We all share one purpose, and that's to awaken from this dream of forgetfulness, that we forget the truth of what we are and who our Father is. So I just want to put that in there, because that is just so important. And, you know, in so many places it just says the exact same thing, especially under trust, which I did put up here just a little bit earlier, so you only have a minute to go. But I do want to put this up. It says, it takes great learning to understand that all events, all encounters, and circumstances are helpful. Are helpful. It's only to the extent that they are helpful that any degree of reality should be accorded them in this world of illusion. just want to remind everyone we're going into our social hour coming up. We now follow the services on Sunday with a social hour, and Lynn's going to be leading. Right now, Lynn, the mic is all yours. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Dove. And as Dove said, this is our social hour, so this is when you get your own coffee and you can chat amongst yourselves. I will play some music. In fact, I'm going to play a song right now that makes me think of when I was a kid and I would go to church, and I lived in a little small town up in the mountains, and it was a lot of the times it would be very cold and snowy, but the sun always shined. You know, that's Colorado. The sun always shines in Colorado. And so I would step out of church on Sunday morning, and I would see the sun shining brightly, and I would know that God is looking at me and loving me. And so this song reminds me of that. And while this song plays, I'm going to take a quick break, and I will be back to moderate if anybody has any thoughts or ideas, or they want to chat, or you can write things on the board, or put up your hand and we can talk. So here we go. Here's my song for the day.
Here comes the sun.